Well, one thing I want to do, and I started touching on this last week, is that in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 3, it talks about our faith growing exceedingly and also our charity or love abounding. And it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your what? Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that means our love and our faith ought to be growing. It ought to be abounding. It ought to be being perfected or developed, coming to a full end or maturity. So that means that this is the fruit of the Spirit, but it needs to be developed. And we were talking again last week about the spirit of faith, and that as this is developed, our faith is being developed. And what does it say? We believe and therefore speak. This is 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having what? The same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So we're to do what? Speak, or you could say faith is voice activated. It's activated by how? It's not just believing it in your heart, but how did you get saved? You believed in your heart that Jesus was the Christ, he was raised from the dead, and you did what? By confession, you are saved. So you've got to believe what you've got to speak what you believe. And of course, you know, we're not going to take the time, but you could see the same thing in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall what? Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you saith. So the spirit of faith, and you can see this from the scripture, it's caught, not taught. So there are principles of faith, but then there's the spirit of something that's caught. You know, we talked about team spirit. You know, you can learn the principles of a sport, but then there's a team spirit. There's a, you know, they call it the esprit de corps. There's an attitude. There's a spirit about a team. And so you can see this from the scripture. Elisha caught it from what? Being around someone with the spirit of faith. He caught it from Elijah. You can see Joshua, right? He was helped Moses. He was his right-hand man, right? He caught that spirit from Moses. And the disciples caught that from who? Jesus. So you catch a spirit of faith by being around people who have a spirit of faith. Through what? You could say through association, right? So it's good to watch who you hang around with. You know, you hang around people, you know, you could have a negative spirit. You hang around people that just talk negative all the time, you'll catch that spirit, right? And then you hang around people that got a positive, you know, people in the world say a positive vibe. Well, that's a spirit. Their spirit is either positive or negative. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you keep hanging around people that have a certain kind of spirit or attitude, you'll catch that, right? You catch it. So that's why when your spirit's not comfortable, back off, back away. You know, say, hey, good to see you. And that's about it. Right? So let's turn over and let's look at 1 John 2:5. And this is something that I was saying that the Holy Spirit had been sharing some things with me. I just got this. He said, I want you to look up the word perfect. And I went, hmm. Well, you know, that raised a lot of scriptures in my mind and thinking, and then you start running some references on the word perfect. And boy, I'll tell you, it's enlightening. Now, most of us, you know, and you know, if you talk to somebody in the world, they say, oh, I'm not perfect, I can't be perfect. And actually, in Christian circles, some people say, well, I'm not perfect. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes. That word perfect used in the Old English means something else. And so I just thought it was interesting. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. You know, and a lot of times in the natural, people will say it's not possible to attain perfection. Well, I disagree. I disagree with that. And in the natural, people try to attain perfection, or what they perceive to be perfection, by doing things, you know, doing good works and different things like that. And they feel like, well, I'm a good person. I've kind of attained a level of perfection. But 1 John 2:5 was enlightening. It says, but whoso what keepeth his word in him verily is what? The love of God is perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that abideth in him. See, this is, somebody might say, this ain't possible. Yes, it is. Because if Jesus inspired them to write this, it's possible. And I'm going to pull a scripture out in Luke that shows you even Jesus said it. But what does this say? He that saith he abideth in him, so I abide in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So everybody's like, oh yeah, he's perfect. Well, he's saying you're supposed to walk the same way. Now, in the natural, we can't do that. In the natural. That's why he sent his spirit. That's why he sent his word. What did he say? Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That word perfected means to carry through completely, to accomplish, to bring to an end. In other words, it's maturity. So what is John 13:34-35? It says that this is the command. He said, this is my commandment, that you do what? Love one another. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then the love of God won't be perfected in you. That's what that boils down to, doesn't it? So you're going to come up short. But he's given us the ability, and it's not us changing us, it's the power of the Word of God. What is it? What are we just going to done saying in James? That faith without an action is dead. That means when I act on the Word, even when I don't feel like it, the power of the Word is changing me. It's changing me. It's perfecting me. It's developing in me a godlike character. Right? That's what it's doing. I don't think they have this. I didn't write this down, but just look at you can look this up, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5, verse 48 in the King James. Somebody said, well, now this is Jesus speaking now. This is on the Mount, this is the Beatitudes. he's, he's, He's sharing this here now. This is Jesus speaking. This is red letter here now. So if you got any doubt, take it up with him. What does this scripture say? Be ye therefore what? Perfect. This is Jesus speaking now. He says, you be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. That's why the Holy Spirit, he had me sitting down looking through all these scriptures, and I was like, okay, we got work to do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You know, we're familiar with these scriptures, but then when you look at the word that the Holy Spirit highlights, it's like, wow, it makes it a little different. Romans chapter 2, and it says, and be not what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Or you could say, just like we got done in 1 John 2:5, when I obey his word, when I act upon it and obey it, it does what? The love of God is perfected in me. You're being transformed. Right? And so what is this saying? But be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind that you what? That you may do what? Prove. That's testing. In other words, you're proving. You're testing the word. You're not that you need to, but the word is settled, but you're proving it. And what? What is that you're proving? What is that good and acceptable and what?
Perfect.
Perfect will of God. So God is expecting that we act upon the word for the purpose of proving his word to find out what is that good, something that's profitable for you, beneficial for you. Find out what is good and acceptable and perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at one more scripture here before we get into the message. James 1:17. You know, these are all, you know, familiar scriptures, but it's just interesting. James 1:17, what does it say? Every what? So he's telling us that we're to get our minds renewed through the word of God so we can prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now look at James 1:17. Every what? Every good gift and every perfect gift. Oh boy. Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. What's a good gift? Righteousness. It's a good gift. And that got me off on another trail. What are the gifts? Righteousness is the gift. Talks about the gift of righteousness. We receive the gift of righteousness, shall do what? Reign. Romans 5:17. We'll reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. These are good gifts. And every perfect gift is from above. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. What? It is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Salvation. It's the gift of God. It's a good gift. And that came from heaven above. So you can start looking that we're supposed to do what? Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Glory to God. Let's look at another scripture. I mean, you can go through these. This one's excited me here. 2 Corinthians 12:8. This is Paul speaking here. Very familiar scripture. And Paul, he says, I knew a man in Christ, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, caught up to the third heaven. So here Paul got these, he says, revelations, unspeakable revelations. And because of that, he got a, he was buffeted by Satan. We called it a thorn in the flesh. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:8. And because of that, what happened? He said, he's now saying, Lord, remove this from me. And the Lord, this is Jesus speaking now by his Spirit. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And now this is Jesus speaking by his Spirit. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my what? My strength. Oh, my goodness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, boy. His strength. You know what that word strength is? That strength in the Greek is dunamis. It's miracle-working, miraculous-working power. That power is made perfect in weakness. Oh, boy. So what it's saying here is it's saying that it's made perfect. That means that word perfect is perfection or something that is mature. And this I looked up because Rick Renner expounds on Greek words. He said, the tense, T-E-N-S-E, the tense in this verse conveys continual action. It's not one and done. It's continual strength. It's not something that God does sometimes, but it is the power of God that God makes available at all times if we receive it. Remember? We prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to prove that. We've got to believe that his strength, his power is available to me and is working in me when I can't do it. When I can't see my way through, he's working in me. He's giving me the strength to go through it. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And this word weakness means a person who feels weak, distressed, unsettled, or needy. And actually, I'm not going to go through it here, but Rick Renner explains that the Greek word that's used for weakness, he said, is a certain Greek word. If they used this Greek word, he would have meant sickness. But he said, no, he didn't. He said weakness, this particular Greek word, this word for weakness means, you know, weakness, not sickness. And so, meaning pressed, which he was. Everybody was against him because of the preaching of the gospel. Now, I'm going to continue. I'm going to pick back up on this particular scripture verse again, James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4. Because this really is what we walk through, what we face. James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy. It didn't say it was. It says to count it, that means to esteem it or to think. Judge it. When we fall into, that word fall into means to be encompassed or surrounded about by temptations or adversity is really the word. Trials and adversity. You're surrounded about. What are we supposed to do? Wine? I heard Mark Hankins say this. He said, the spirit of faith will take the wine out of your voice. The spirit of faith will take the wine out of your voice. Yeah. Ah! No, you say, I'm going over, I'm going through, and I'm strengthened by his power to go through. And I'm going to rejoice and count it all joy, right? So I count it all joy when I fall into or I'm encompassed about by adversity. Knowing this, that the trying or, something's proven or tested, the trying of your faith worketh something. Patience. That word is endurance. But let patience or endurance have her perfect work. Perfect, perfect, perfect. There's that word perfect again. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect. Entire, wanting nothing. So you can see this is so insightful. But the Holy Spirit said, look up the word perfect. Perfect means to come to full age, to come to maturity. Why? Because when you reach that place, you want nothing. You're like, man, I'm settled. Nothing moves me. And what's happening is when people are surrounded by adversity, they don't let faith or they don't let faith work. They throw it in. They go like, I've had enough. And they don't let endurance have its perfect work. Meaning what? Be developed. So that you are letting faith work something in you. Endurance. Didn't say, who likes to endure going to the gym? Nobody. Who likes to endure going on a weight loss program? Nobody. But you sure do like the results. We all do. Nobody likes development. Nobody likes change. But we like the results. So that's all we're saying here is let patience have its perfect work, something that's brought to full age, something that's brought to maturity. It says, because when you do, you what? It says, when you, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wow. This word for patience or endurance conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, unflinching. It means you're not moved. It is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. I'm not letting go of my faith, because faith is working something in me. It's working endurance in me. And this is what the devil is fighting. He's pressuring us to do what? Back off. And not letting faith work endurance in us. Oh, yeah. So God wants to do a work inside us. He wants to change us so that we can live successfully and we can face the adversities in life. But you're going to have to let something work in you. You're going to have to let faith work that endurance. And it's uncomfortable. But what do we get done saying in 1 John 5:4? Whosoever is what? Born of God? Oh, yes, I am. Overcometh the world, the adversity. And this is the victory that overcometh it, even our faith. But you've got to let it work something. You can't just let go. You just can't go a year and say, I've had enough of this. I don't want no more. I'm tired. No, because Paul got to that point, and what did he say? He said, get rid of this. And God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when we feel weak, we need to draw on that power, the miracle-working power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me read James chapter 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it. See that's the same word when it says count it all joy. This says here, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. See, that's like, you know, you've got faith, it's working, but then that's like you planting a seed in the garden. You're like, man, where's the corn? Where's the maize? Where's the watermelon? And you're picking stuff and you're trying to dig stuff up and you don't give it a chance to grow. That has got to be given a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Wow. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, this got me, and I may expand on this again, but just some thoughts here. Well, I'm going to read this. This is from the Renner. It's Rick Renner. He's coming out actually with an interpretive Bible of the New Testament. I don't know when it's being released, but this is something he wrote in James 1:4. It's called the Renner Interpretive Version. It says, but let patience have her perfect work. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles, and I like this, and turning down every opportunity to quit. Oh, yeah. I'm just turning it down. No. I'm turning down every opportunity to quit. I'm not giving up. I'm just not going to give up. I like what Pastor Hagin says. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. That's what this is saying here. I'm not going to quit. And I'm not defeated because my faith is working. And it's developing endurance in me. You know, you could go for, I don't know how many years, you could go and go and go and it looks like nothing's ever going to change. And then all of a sudden, boom, it changes. Because faith has been working on it. It's been working in you, endurance, to hold steady. You know, a lot of times people give up and they're a day away from victory. They're a moment away from victory. And they just throw the towel in. No, no, don't quit. The devil's defeated. Your faith is working. Glory to God. Let's look at James chapter 2. And James 2, verse 17 through 22. I hope you're seeing a little something out of this that holds steady. You know, all the stuff that's going on right now, it can make you feel a certain way in the flesh and in the soul. But you need to hold steady because he's defeated. James chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" Now look at verse 22. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect." So faith, again, remember Romans chapter 2, verse, I believe it's Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says we were given a measure of faith. But that faith needs to be what? Developed. It needs to grow. It says, what do we get done reading at the beginning? It says your faith groweth exceedingly. So your faith needs to come to full age. That means it needs to grow. It needs to be developed. Don't give in. Let your faith work, and let it work patience. And I'll just finish with this. You can look these scriptures up, because we're just going to close. But you can look this scripture up. This is familiar. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." What's verse 17 say? "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So God is desiring that we take the word of God, act upon it, and that it does what? When we act upon it, the love of God is perfected in us. And also I would say that the faith of God is what? Developed, made perfect in us. That means it groweth. Love aboundeth, it groweth. So does your endurance grow and is perfected by letting faith work patience or endurance. So we need to not throw the towel in. Keep, as I say, keep your faith active. Keep your heart connected. Keep your words right. What does the scripture say in Proverbs 4? I'm just thinking about this scripture. "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health unto all our flesh." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Some say guard your heart at all costs. For out of it, in other words, it can affect the way you think. So meditate in the word. Act upon the word. It will work something in you. It'll work patience and endurance. Don't let go. Don't throw the towel in. Keep steady. Keep using the name of Jesus. Keep believing and keep speaking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for developing in us endurance. Thank you for developing in us and perfecting in us not only endurance, but you're perfecting in us the love of God as we act upon your word. We thank you that as we act upon the word of God, that faith is being made perfect in us. It's being developed as we act upon it. So, Father, we thank you that we're standing steady. We thank you and we lift up the name of Jesus. We count it all joy. And we count it an opportunity to have great joy. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And we are thankful unto you this day. And we thank you for the revelation, for the strength that we've received today through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. I trust you got a little something because it'll get you to thinking about, I'm not budging. I'm letting faith work in me. And I'm not budging one inch. This is my spot. This is my, in other words, I'm proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the devil is defeated. Hallelujah. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Glory to God. So we thank God that we're overcomers through faith. Hallelujah. Now, just before we leave, for the sake of those here and if you've never received Jesus as Lord, if you've never asked him into your heart, if you've never confessed him as your Savior, and for those that may be viewing, that you can receive this free gift of salvation by believing that Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead, if you believe that and confess that with your mouth, the scripture says, you will be saved. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son to this earth. I believe that you sent him to die for our sins and to redeem mankind. I believe he took our sins to hell. And when sin was paid for, he was released. And we were raised from hell. And we were raised, and we were also seated with him in heavenly places. So, Father, I believe that I receive Jesus as my Savior. I ask you to cleanse me with your blood. Make something new of me. And I believe that now I'm saved in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that, you know, simple prayer, you believed it in your heart and confessed that with your mouth, let us know, contact us, and we'll send out, if there's anybody here, we'll give you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God.